already made some comments about us being a privileged people and enjoying some blessings that much of the world hasn't, and some of it is because of the time that we live, and we are post-resurrection. We can look back instead of looking forward like the Old Testament saints didn't exactly know what they were looking for, or even the disciples in Jesus' time. They were not expecting the kingdom to be ushered in the way that it was. And then even more than that, it's the angels. Where even Peter makes reference to them about they wandering and looking into this great plan that had happened. But there's something really interesting here that Peter alludes to, and that is glory and suffering as it goes. What connection does it have? And salvation is simple enough that a youngster can understand this as he comes to the age of understanding. They can understand that Jesus died for our sins. He took our place. He paid the price for our redemption. He didn't. It was more than taking our place, because we can't even take our own place and suffer horribly and then be forgiven. That doesn't work. It has to be Christ. And so it's more than taking our place, but he paid our ransom. And it doesn't take a lot of understanding to understand that part. And yet, I'll admit that I do not understand it all. It's a beautiful mystery, but the more you understand, the more beautiful it becomes. And the more intimate a relationship, and the more precious the gift. And that's what I'd like to look at here in this chapter. Peter was one that walked closely with God, with Jesus on earth. He was one that thought he understood what Jesus came here to do. But he was a long ways from understanding it as well. But here when he wrote this, I think he understood it well. And so I'd just like to read the first chapter, and starting with verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit that was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto them, but unto us, did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your hearts, your souls, in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. Grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. You know, Peter had a very good summary of what salvation was all about. And I think he summarizes it well in this chapter. The fact that it was something that when Christ experienced the cross, there was glory that followed. In fact, Jesus himself, when he was talking to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he said, shouldn't Christ have suffered and entered into his glory? So Peter understood that. And then he says that when that glory becomes personal with us, and we're one with him, and then we are a part of that as well. So this evening, as we focus on the suffering and the price of our salvation, there's glory involved in his defeat of the power of the enemy in our life. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.